Will you turn with me now to the New Testament, to the book of the Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews and chapter 4. In the light of what we read there from Numbers chapter 14, we read these words. Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor be mixed with faith in them that heard it. And I want our meditation this morning to focus on one simple theme and thought, and that is that we all need that faith and trust which is spoken of as an essential quality about our lives in this verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 4. Not be mixed with faith in them that heard it. And I want to start by going back to a very familiar passage in our Bibles, the passage we all are familiar with, the parable of the sower and the seed. It's a story we all know. We've heard it. We've memorized it, perhaps, certainly from earliest years. We were exposed to it. The different types of ground into which the seed fell, and the different results and the different consequences that came out of that sowing. And that ground represents the different variety of our characters and the different situations and settings that we all can be in. The birds stealing the seed right on the surface of the ground, and the way in which the devil immediately, right now, here, at this moment, is trying to steal the word away from our lives, the good word of the gospel. The stony ground, those that give up at the very first difficulty. The thorns, where different pressures in life today both smother and choke the good news of this gospel. And we can take all these things together and say simply for ourselves this morning that the cares and the anxieties of life can dominate us. If only we were better off, we would be happy. We chase after things that can consume us. If only we won the lottery, we'd be content. The priority we set on things to the exclusion of anything else that's more important in our lives, like our spiritual status and standing before God. Oh, if only we were with these things, we would be safe and sound. That's the kind of thinking that the parable of the sower is addressing. And we know these things. We know that understanding from many years past. And so we try to duck and dive. We can say, oh, that applies perhaps to another time in my life. Not now. Or we might say, that applies to someone else. Not me. But you know, there's a little phrase in the very middle of the parable of the sower which sometimes we read over too quickly, because God does not allow us the comfort of passing the buck. God doesn't allow us to duck from our responsibilities. There's a little phrase there, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord Jesus Christ challenges us. He challenges us how we are responding to God's word. And it's a challenge that buttonholes every one of us. We cannot blame it on the person sitting beside us or in front of us. We cannot blame it on our lives in the past. We cannot blame it on anyone or anything else. This is one of the most often repeated challenges that the Lord Jesus Christ leaves. Take heed, beware, watch out how you are listening to what God is saying. Every one of us is put on the spot. How do I react? How do I respond to what God is telling me about myself and about my problem? How can we deal with the wrong things in our lives? What do we do with the message of pardon and forgiveness that is offered in and through the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we safely leave God's word to one side? Can we safely let it pass us by because we've got more important things to do? These are the questions that put us on the spot, that the Lord will use to test how we are listening to what He is saying. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to rely upon Him for the good and the salvation of our souls. Now that message is brought home to us by these people in Israel that we read about in Numbers chapter 14. Again, these are familiar teaching things we're all well known from early years. God brought His people out of Egypt. It was a big company, but it was a very interesting company of people that came out of Egypt. God had done so many great things from them. He promised to do so much more for them. The slaves were given freedom. They were brought out of Egypt into the borders of the land of promise. God said that He would subdue His enemies. God said that He would settle them in the land. God said that they would serve Him. And so we come. So we come to the borders. The very next step would take them into the land of promise. And what happens? They started to doubt what God had said. It was better for us to be back in Egypt. It was better for us back there rather than going into this wilderness and dying there. Why did you bring us here? And there was only two people that held on to the promise God had given. There was only two people that had faith that God would do exactly what He said. No matter what the problems, no matter how big the obstacles, no matter how great the doubts and the fears, God would do what God had said. Joshua and Caleb, both of them, trusting in God. They were brought out across the Dead Sea. They were singing as they came out of Egypt and going towards the land of promise. They came out singing well and with high hopes. And what happened next? They began to doubt and to fear God. And God turned them back for 40 years into the wilderness. Look behind them now as they walk through the dust and the sand in the wilderness. Follow them with your mind's eye, and you'll find a line of graves that mark their journey. And every day and every night, there's one more added to that great number and testimony. Instead of entering the land of promise, they went into the wilderness. So noble, so lofty a destiny, so great a journey in prospect before them, yet they failed. Why? Why did they turn back? Why did God turn them around? Because they lacked faith, trusting in God. We are given, you and I, we are given warnings from the life of other people to take care. We are given great lighthouses that flash a bright light into our life today. And they tell us a simple message that there's danger here. And here we have a great message to us this morning. They entered not. They entered not in because of unbelief. They did not believe or trust in God. And because of that, they turned aside. A great warning for us that I want us to take up to ourselves now. Simply to think like this. What was the message they heard? What was the message that they were given? When you listen to what God had promised and God said that He would do, bringing them out of Egypt and bringing them into the land of promise, that's a great story. But when you come to the New Testament and you listen to what God has promised that He will do for us in Jesus Christ, He brings us out of the darkness of sin and He brings us into the experience of forgiveness. Yes, that's a greater story. But the story tells the same things. It tells about what God is going to do for His people in saving and delivering them. And once you and I know these stories, once you and I know what God is saying to us, then the responsibility comes here. We can never turn round and say, well, I never knew these things. If you told me, I'd have believed them, but I never knew these things. None of us can say that now. They heard a message. And we hear a message. What is it? Well, the message can be taken in several different simple words. First of all, they needed help. Nobody can understand the experience better than the slaves in Egypt. They worked to exhaustion. Day after day, into the night time. There was no rest given from the production line they were on. Whenever they did better, more was asked from them. And they were pursued relentlessly. And they were pushed and pushed and pushed to the point of breaking. They needed help. And God gave them that message simply when He said, I will set you free. They needed help, and God was the one to give it to them. We need help. And the only one who can give us help today is the Lord Jesus Christ. With the same invitation, He speaks to us and He says, come to me. And listen to what He says next. All ye who labor and are heavy laden. Spiritual rest is what we need. Spiritual blessing upon our soul. When you listen to what God is saying in the gospel, He has before us a great message of amazing things. Speaking about the burden of sin being lifted. Speaking about release from the fear and the pressures of death. Breaking the habit of sin. Taking away the dread and the wrath of meeting God and the pain in our conscience. And giving us a peace and a rest that we cannot find anywhere else. That's the help you and I need. the message they heard, and the message that's given to us today. But we need to trust in God to do it for us. Israel couldn't bring themselves out of Egypt. They were oppressed, but nobody was there to deliver them. It was only through the power of God and the hand of God upon them that they were brought out of the land of Egypt. We know the story again, it's familiar to us, about the Passover lamb and the Exodus. The way in which the blood was applied to the doorpost and everybody in that house was safe and protected. We cannot save ourselves. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can do so. We're in debt above our eyes. And you search the cupboards of your life and there's nothing there to pay the debt. We're bare and we're barren and we're in debt. We're unable to do what God asks of us. And all that we have in prospect is that time of reckoning when we've got to give an explanation of why we've lived the way we've lived, but more importantly, when God asks the accounts to be settled, we are bankrupt spiritually before Him. We need help. That's the message they heard. That's the message we hear constantly. We need help. And the only one who can give us this help is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the great message that God has, the message that He speaks to us today. In the middle of our helplessness, God comes with a great and amazing message of deliverance from all of sin's consequences upon us. But is there faith mixed when we listen to what God is saying? Help. We need it. But not only that, there is also hope in this message. There was, after all, the promise of a good land. They had samples from it. They were all persuaded that the samples were good and spoke well of that land. But there were problems. There were people in that land and there were cities that were fortified to the heavens. They didn't have any resources. They didn't have an army. They didn't have experience. They didn't have battle leaders. They weren't a bloodied nation that were able to fight other people and to win and survive. They were just simply a crowd of slaves that had come out of Egypt. But God was with them. And they lost sight of that. There are times when the immediate obstacles in life put us off. Sometimes we meet something, a big problem, and that puts us off. It's like a giant blocking our way. Caleb and Joshua, they saw these giants and these cities, but they saw something else. They saw God over them all. And that made the difference. Oh yes, they had a great hope. The hope of the land of promise, of God's rich provision for them. And they saw the problems also. And they saw them and were put off by them. You know, Jesus, when He speaks to us in this gospel, when He speaks to us, He says something very simple that these people had to do and we've got to do. You've got to make up a balance sheet. And on one side of the balance sheet, yes, there's what God has promised. There's the land of promise. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. There are great things, and there's the evidence of it. The fruit and the vine and the substance that was taken out. Yes, it's a grand land. And on the other side, yes, there are problems of the cities, and there's the people and all of that. But then you also say, yes, but God is with us. And when you make up the balance sheet like that, and you're trusting in God, then all of these other obstacles will be overcome sooner or later. Keeping our eye of faith and trust fixed upon Jesus, He is able to keep us safe. He's able to protect us. He's able to provide for us. God is able to keep us through every day and through all of our problems. That's our hope. That's the message, or at least that's part of the message that they heard. That's the message we hear. In the face of all of our problems, all of our difficulties, have we keeping our eye fixed, trusting in Jesus? They did not profit them. The word preached, the message they heard, the same as the message we had heard, did it profit them? No. Because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. And the echo comes down to us. What about us? We're hearing the same kind of message in grander terms. We're hearing a greater message. We're hearing what God has done in Jesus Christ and has promised us in Jesus Christ. What then? What then with what he's saying to us? He looks for that commitment. They were going to be, and this is simply one word before we move on, they were going to be a holy people. A holy people means simply God's people, his people. God had great promises for them, privileges. God was going to lavish great care upon them, protect them, provide for them every step. There was going to be nothing lacking for them. That's the kind of commitment God was going to make to this people. But at the very front of that queue, the very front of that queue of all of these things, there stood a simple question. What about your relationship with God? Are you committed to him? Oh yes, a holy people, God's people, God on your side. Yes, but are you on God's side? That's what's important. Then and now. The message then that they heard and the message that is spoken of and that we're hearing today. So what was the problem? Well, if that's the first thing, the message they heard, the problem was they failed to profit from it. They came out of Egypt, but they wanted to go back so quickly. They were tied to the land. They talked as if the Lord had done them a great disfavor. They talked as if the Lord really wasn't on their side. They tried to blame God for what was happening. Oh, the land, it's too great, it's too big. The land is going to devour us. We're going to trip at the first hurdle. We're not going to be able to do anything. You see, they were despising the land. They started out with a defeatist attitude. The spies said, yes, the land was good. But the rest of the people says we'll never conquer it. Failure to profit. The message they heard. God holds out a great word and a great message for us. He holds out the highest good for you and me. Let never any doubt come on that score. God's promises and God's actions are lacking nothing. They are the very best for every one of us. No matter what you need, you can never say there's a fault in what God has promised or made provision for. The fault lies always with us. We're always blaming God for something in our lives. We prefer, like these people, oh, yes, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back there. Life was comfortable, was it not? At least we had a little bit of this and that and the other to keep us going. Okay, life was hard, but at least it was provided for. Sometimes that's the way we think. The Christian life, oh, it's hard going, isn't it? You've got all these problems, haven't you? There's all these battles, don't you? That's the kind of conversation we have with ourselves. And we can despise the land. Oh, it's going to trip us up. We're going to stumble at the first hurdle. We're just going to fall in a heap and we're going to crumple. And what's going to happen then? No. There was a failure to profit with them and there's a failure to profit with us. Let's keep our eye fixed upon the God who has promised and who will do exactly what he said. Failure to profit. They turned and they died in the wilderness. When it comes down to the wire, when it comes down to the wire, when we're looking for comfort, when we're looking for consolation, in the last hour, where is our consolation going to be found? We might find out too late that we're on the wrong side. We've missed the boat. The glorious message that we've heard for many a year has now passed us by. Let us therefore listen to the warning. A promise has been left us. And these people are warning us with a great lighthouse. They came short of it and look what happened to them. Be careful. Oh, be careful, friends, as we listen to what God is saying, lest we come short of it too. They failed to profit. That takes us to one last thought. Why? What's the reason for this sad warning from this people? There was nothing wrong with the message. It was simple. It was easy to understand and it was complete. Nothing wrong with that. There was nothing wrong with the messenger. Moses was a meek man. Where did the problem lie then? The problem lies here inside ourselves. No matter how simple the message, and no matter how good the preacher, even if it were to be an angel speaking to us, yet, if we don't have any faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we quickly disregard and discount what he's telling us. Yes, we can even sit down at a great meal. We can sit at the table before a great spread and we can describe in all of the culinary detail the way in which it was prepared, the ingredients that were used for it, and the way in which they are mixed together so perfectly to give a beautiful taste. Oh yes. We can describe and go through every single course and all that it means and all it signifies. We can do it for day after day. But yet, if we don't eat, that's not doing us any good. We can look, we can describe, we can appreciate, but if we don't taste of that food, then it's doing us no good. We must have that taste. We must have that commitment. We must have that trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot rely upon simply our traditions. Well, we've come through and we can trace our roots back through so many different generations in the Highlands or in the Islands. You cannot trust in, oh yes, but my parents or my mum and my dad or someone else was a Christian and, well, that'll get me through. There's no such thing as second-hand faith. There's no such thing as traditional Christianity as far as the salvation of my soul is concerned. Yes, there's no such thing even as domestic Christianity as far as my soul is concerned. There must be one thing only, personal Christianity. We need to trust in Jesus Christ for ourselves. In the sea of life, we're all on a voyage. And that voyage is going to take us into many, many different experiences and situations. And there are warnings given for us, and we can recognize these warnings always along the way. There are harbors that attract us for safety every now and then. But there are also lighthouses that warn us that there's dangers and reefs ahead. Let us then listen to this fearful message. This line of graves that are scattered in the wilderness. They came to the borders. They had great promises and prospect before them. God had said great things concerning them, what He would do and what He would be for them. And yet, what did they do? But they turned away and they refused to believe God. We have a gospel message this morning where God speaks even more gloriously. And He tells us of the wonderful things that He's done in Jesus Christ, His Son. This is the great gospel that is before you and me today. And He puts every one of us to the mark. He puts every one of us on the spot. He draws a line in your life and mine. And He deals with us personally and He deals with us individually. And He scrutinizes our life, and He weighs us, and He judges us, and He assesses us. And He's looking for one certain commodity. He's looking for one essential ingredient in your life. He's asking this question: what do you think of Jesus Christ, my Son? He's looking for faith and trust in Him. How then will we answer that question? Because whatever way we answer it, there are tremendous consequences hanging there. Consequences not only for life, but for eternity. What then do you think of Christ? And the warning that we've given here: for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor be mixed with faith in them that heard it. We've heard about them. What about us? Is there faith with us in a God who has done amazing things for sinners in Jesus Christ, His Son? Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God and Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, Thy Son, we can come near to Thee and speak with Thee. In Him we have a way of access and a glorious approach and argument. Lord, enable every one of us. Deal with us individually here, Lord, and for every one of us, may the issues of heaven, of eternity, of our souls be a priority with us today. Lord, may we not slip and slide with these things, but Lord, help us to think very carefully of what Thou hast given to us today. And we ask it, Lord, for the glory of Thy name, in Jesus Christ, Thy Son. Amen. We close our service this morning by the simple challenge then that we have from our meditation. Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in Him is blessed. Fear God, His saints, none that in fear shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. O children, hitherto ye come, and unto me give ear. And shall you teach to understand how ye the Lord should fear? What man is he that life desires? To see good would live long. Thy lips refrain from speaking guile, and from ill words thy tongue.